Why haven't they perfected this yet?
I don't know. Somebody's got to put their head down for, what, a week and figure out a solution.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson. It's reality.
Cleanup continues to...
982.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 412, The Tea of Pacey, which originally aired on January 17th, 2000.
I think it's the Tay.
Shoot.
Isn't it?
I don't know. I looked it up and it said tea, but it also said Tao and not Dao. So I don't know. Here we are.
Well, look, they need to start giving us titles that could say.
Yeah, I think we're through the worst of it.
But I will say this episode's incredible.
It's so good. This is one that stood out in my memory. Like, I had a very firm memory of this episode. It's so good.
In cred, what is the Dawson's drink for episode 412, The Tay of Pacey?
We will be drinking the birthday cake martini. It is vodka, half and half, and birthday cake syrup with some sprinkles. Half and half in a drink is weird to me, but you know what? I'll roll with it.
Sounds good to me. You know, I love a half and half moment.
For sure.
A little treat. It's a little treat. Well, I'm going to dive into the recap, shall I?
Please do.
So episode 412, The Tay Tea Che of Pacey, opens with Pacey waking to Joey serenading him with happy birthday. He groans and makes a wish for the day to pass without any further mention. He explains that his longstanding birthday curse is in effect. Every year something goes wrong. He'd rather skip it altogether. Joey refuses. Pacey gives in, but he makes one request. A low-key evening with her and her alone. She agrees, but her expression says otherwise. Meanwhile, Dawson prepares for his first real date with Gretchen, and he is spiraling. Drac tries to calm him, but the two reflect on the fact that neither Joey nor Pacey knows about their budding relationship. Later, when Joey corners Gretchen, she reveals that she and Pacey's mom are throwing a surprise party. Gretchen pushes back and says it is a horrible idea. And Joey says that she knows it was, but it wasn't her choice. Their mom coordinated it, and she just couldn't tell her no. She needs Gretchen to attend. So despite having a date with Dawson, Gretchen lies and says that she's free. Gretchen later tells Dawson about the party, and she suggests postponing their date, while he just thought that would be their date. She also thinks their relationship should be kept quiet, at least for now. Dawson, who is not in favor of keeping relationships a secret after what happened to him, does not like this. He wonders if Gretchen's ashamed of him. She assures him that she's not. She just says today is not the time. The conversation turns sour, and Dawson walks away convinced that something more is going on. Elsewhere, Jen and Grams are bonding over decoupage. Jen's nearly finished with her community service, and she has one more night where she'll be driving around drunk drivers in a sober driver program. She notices that Grams is distracted and jokingly asks if she's thinking about sex. Grams, unfazed, brushes it off. She refuses to let Jen get under her skin. At the program, Jen bumps into Toby and tells him that there's a party tonight and Jack will be there. Toby isn't sure if Jack even likes him or if Jack's even gay at all. He suspects that Jen is trying to set them up. She admits that she is, but only as friends. Toby says, good, because he has a boyfriend. Greg is amazing and he's everything that Jack isn't. He spends the night comparing Jack to Greg in gory detail. At Pacey's house, Joey blindfolds Pacey and leads him into the big surprise. But the reveal falls completely flat. No one is ready, the timing is off, no one shouts surprise, and instead of celebration, there is awkward scattered shuffle. Doug, Gretchen, Dawson, Jack, Pacey's newly divorced sister, Carrie, and her kids are all there milling about. Pacey stands in the doorway, very upset that this is the night that Joey planned for them. The event quickly turns painful, and his family is critiquing him publicly in front of Joey and Jack, and they can't even remember Joey's name. Pacey pulls Joey aside, demanding to know what she was thinking and why she went against his wishes for the night. She insists that she was just trying to help him connect with his family. He says it doesn't matter how hard he tries, he'll always be a disappointment to them. She promises that they'll get through it together, and he doubts it. So later, Mr. Witter pulls Joey aside and thanks her for encouraging Pacey to consider college, but he adds that he doesn't think that Pacey has what it takes. He thinks that being a dog groomer might be a better fit. Pacey's mom chimes in with a softer take, but says she'll believe in Pacey no matter how many times he fails, and he always tends to, which upsets Pacey even further. So meanwhile, Gretchen and Dawson, who are still at odds a little bit, end up entertaining Gretchen's nieces and nephews. This melts the tension between them. And Joey senses that Pacey's distracted, so she urges him to open up. So as they go downstairs, they stumble upon Gretchen and Dawson kissing. The curse has officially kicked in, as Pacey and Joey are super upset to see this. It sends them spiraling. And it even rattles Gretchen too, which causes a fight between her and Dawson. Dawson accuses Gretchen of hiding their relationship, ashamed to go public. He's hurt that she won't own it. Pacey tells Gretchen that his priorities have shifted. He needs to have a tough conversation with Joey because something's wrong. The party then goes into gift-giving time, and the presents feel empty and tone-deaf. His father gives him fireworks, which seems random. His sister gives him an ashtray, and then the family starts sharing embarrassing stories about Pacey's birthdays. Gretchen tries to offset it by sharing a sweet one, but it only lasts a moment before the family even turns her sweet story into a jab. So finally, Pacey snaps. He reveals in front of everyone that they're right. He's a loser, and he's not going to go to college because he didn't even get into a safety school. He storms out, and Dawson and Joey go searching for him, using the time to talk as they drive. They both reflect on dating Witter siblings, how it's really hard to connect with them because they close themselves off emotionally. Dawson tells Joey that it's not her fault Pacey didn't get into college, and she says that she knows that, but she feels like it's her fault that he feels like he failed her. So while they're off searching, it's actually Pacey's dad who finds him, and he tells Pacey that he doesn't know if Pacey knows this, but he actually failed the police academy exam on his first try. He knows that he's been tough on Pacey, but it's not because he doesn't believe in him. It's because he's just never been sure that traditional schooling was ever Pacey's path. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't think his son can do great things. He knows Pacey can. So he says that he never got to share his favorite Pacey birthday memory at the party, and he says that his is Pacey's 10th birthday. He gave Pacey fireworks as a present, and he said that he's never seen Pacey so happy, and Pacey said it was the best day of his life. Elsewhere, Jen and Toby are driving home, and she calls him out for inventing this boyfriend, Greg. Toby admits that Greg is fake and he does have a crush on Jack. Jen suggests that if he wants a shot with Jack, then he has to stop being such a jerk. When Pacey and his dad return to the party, the crowd yells surprise for real this time. It's a genuine moment. They have a cake and candles, and for the first time that night, Pacey smiles and feels seen. Later, Gretchen confesses to Dawson that her confusion has nothing to do with being ashamed of their relationship or being afraid of Pacey and Joey's reaction. She's just unsure how long she'll be staying in Capeside, and she's afraid of what getting too close might do to both of them. Dawson understands, but he says he'll be leaving soon too for college. He says maybe they can just enjoy each other while they can. So when Joey and Pacey get a moment alone, she tells him not to worry because there are plenty of colleges that are still open to him. But he says it's not about college. It's about what it all means. It just means that they're on different paths that are growing further and further apart every day. Joey reassures him that both of their paths always lead back right here. The night ends with everyone lighting off the fireworks, having a good time celebrating Pacey, and Pacey's dad wraps his arm around his son and tells him happy birthday. And that is episode 412, The Tay of Pacey.
So adorable.
So good. And I just remembered things that I forgot, and I was on the hook, had all the dynamics. All the dynamics.
Yeah.
Gretchen and Pacey. Gretchen and Dawson.
Joey and Dawson. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I think having them bond over the Witter siblings, dating Witter siblings, is like really brilliant.
Yep.
But anyway, we'll get into it. Ooh. Who wrote episode 412?
This episode was written by Maggie Friedman. She was first with us for episode 318, Neverland, which is the one where Ethan comes to spend the night with Jack and Buzz and his friends break up Dawson and Pacey's camping trip. And she was last with us for episode 405, A Family Way, which is the one when Gail finds out she's pregnant.
Loved it. I wonder if she was like the voice of Gretchen or something. She gets big Gretchen episodes.
And we know she came to the show halfway through season three. Gina talked a bit about her in her interview.
Yeah. Was she the assistant that got promoted or was she the writer that came on?
She came on from Kevin's other show, Wasteland.
Awesome.
Yeah. So another great episode for Maggie.
And who directed it?
This episode was directed by Harry Weiner, and this is his first episode with us. He has 51 directing credits spanning from 1975 to 2009. He had episodes of Party of Five, Alias, Summerland. He had 10 episodes of Felicity, What About Brian, Veronica Mars. And he will be with us for one more episode this season and then one episode next season in season five. So we will look forward to that. A great episode. Very well directed.
Very well directed. What about guest cast shout out?
Well, you know, I'm going to give the guest cast shout out to Jane Lynch playing Mrs. Witter, obviously.
Of course.
She's a legend. She's in everything. She has 246 acting credits. It's hard to even talk about her because I feel like everyone thinks of something different when they think of her. Well, let me start at the beginning. Her first credit was in 1988 in Vice Versa. And then she was in one episode of just about every 90s sitcom that existed. She was in Married with Children, News Radio, Sybil, Third Rock from the Sun, Frasier, Caroline in the City, Dharma and Greg. Like all of those mainstays, I feel like, that were constantly on TV when we were growing up. She has an episode of those. Those are the ones that stood out to me, but literally everything you could think of. She mostly rotated between doing like 1 to 2 episodes of sitcoms and movies for the first 20 years of her career. She was in most of the Christopher Guest movies, I think. She just has been wildly consistent for 30 years, which is insane. I feel like most people take dips and fall off, but she's just kind of been consistently in stuff. For me, obviously, then she went on to do 121 episodes of Glee, which I feel like is a place that a lot of people became really familiar with her. And she was like a household name. I think of Party Down, like first, that's what I think of for her. And then I also loved Hollywood Game Night. I loved that show.
That was a game show?
Yeah, it was like celebrities doing random party games.
Right. She was the host.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was after Glee, right?
Yeah. What do you think of?
I think of Glee.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people think of Glee. That's like her big thing. I just picture her in her tracksuit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, she was the star for me. Like, she was the draw and the star and the scene stealer of Glee for me, so.
Yeah, I loved Party
Down. She's great.
Highly recommend if you haven't seen it.
Oh,
everyone.
Love Party Down. I will say, a very interesting and odd choice for Pacey's mom.
Yeah.
But I'm into it.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Also, she was doing this, like, she almost had a game show host vibe about her. She's like, right, Pacey? Like, the way she was speaking to him was really odd. But again, I'm into it. I thought it worked really well. Because when you think of John Witter, and you're like, what type of woman is John Witter married to? It's hard to picture, honestly, because it's either going to be like a flighty, bimbo-y kind of...
Susie Homemaker, which I think she is, but she's just not a great mom to Pacey.
Yeah, she's off-center for that stereotype.
So we got a DM from Megan, who told us that John Witter is also playing a cop on The Better Sister on Amazon. The Jessica Biel... Elizabeth Banks show.
Wow, that's awesome.
And he's playing a cop.
That's so funny.
That's a good tidbit. I wanted to watch the show and I will, but now I want to watch it even more because I love him.
He has a cop face, obviously.
For sure. Now, what about music moment? I have none.
I have none. Nothing in this episode stood out.
Do you have a past versus present?
I don't have a real one for the episode, but something that stood out to me while watching this is they sing Happy Birthday 3 times. In this episode, and it used to be so much money to sing Happy Birthday on TV. I was shocked. Basically, up until, for those who don't know, up until 2016, the copyright for Happy Birthday was held by, I think it was Warner Brothers Music or Warner Chapel Music. And anytime you sang any recognizable bit of the song Happy Birthday on TV, you had to pay money. When you license a song for TV, you pay for every use of it in the episode. So for this episode, they would pay 3 times to sing Happy Birthday. And that's why if you look back to TV before 2016, you rarely heard anyone sing Happy Birthday. It would always be one of those weird restaurant songs where it's like a made-up version of Happy Birthday, or sometimes they would even cut in to people being like, you holding a cake, like they were at the very end right. of the song. And I was just really shocked to hear it not only once but 3 times throughout this episode. But
okay,
now,
so the first time is in the cold open, Joey's mm-hmm. singing it to Pacey. The one time is when they come back and it's a nice moment, they yell surprise. What is the third time?
When Pacey opens the door to run out and leave after he's told everyone that he didn't get into college, Jen and Toby are standing at the door and they start singing right. Happy Birthday to him, and he blows right. past them.
Okay. So how much money are we talking, do you think?
That I don't know. I'm guessing it would be tens of thousands of dollars per time. It's usually something that there's not enough payoff for a show to spend money on. But you know what? I'll look into that and I'll get back to you. I'll ask my music supervisor friends what a use of Happy Birthday was before 2016. Since 2016, the song's entered the public domain, so now anyone can use it on any show. So you'll start to hear it a lot more.
Yeah. The use of music is wild, just in general. It's always a point of contention and a mess.
It's hard because aside from the money, which like it just costs a ton of money to have a song in an episode, you also have to get the artist to approve the use. And more often than you would think, they're like, no.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Do you have to get the artist's approval?
The artist or the
estate.
That
shocks me. Mm-hmm. That shocks me. I wonder, I've always thought you just kind of pay for it and then it's yours.
I've been denied for multiple songs on shows.
Like, so Taylor Swift has to give her permission for like The Summer I Turned Pretty and all of those. Yep. Huh. Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a new rule, do you think? Or like, so back in the WB era, do you think they had to get every artist permission?
I do think so. Yeah. Because I had to on the CW. I mean, this was 2010, but he got denied. We wanted to use a Bon Iver song in a show that I was working on, and they said no.
Well, screw them.
I love them.
I wonder why people would say no. I mean, I always feel like any exposure is good as far as getting your music out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's not wanting to be tied to... Sometimes it's subject matter. I worked on a show that was about a subject matter that maybe someone wouldn't want their music associated with. Mm-hmm. So the same could be said for like, if it's a CW show, maybe that artist doesn't want their music to be associated with like teeny tweeny stuff. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Wow. How interesting.
How interesting. But yeah, that's it. Otherwise, I didn't have anything for past, first, present, but that struck me for sure.
We've talked about it a little bit. If I had to go searching for this past, versus present, but I just, in my memory, Pacey and Joey's issues as far as him not feeling worth her, they have been there the whole season. But in my mind, they come out of nowhere at the end of the season. But they did. I mean, they're there.
The whole season. This has come up a lot. They talk about it a lot. And they're on, it feels like they're on thin ice the whole time.
Now.
Yeah.
Already. Yeah. Which is so, in my memory, that is just not what this season was. It was just all Pacey, Joey dating. And then I always felt blindsided by the end of the season. No spoilers. But no, it's there. I mean, it's there. And this is also something that always came up with him and Andy. He never felt, you know, poor guy's just been beaten down.
This episode explains why.
I know.
Why he doesn't think he's good enough.
Well, none of them should have self-confidence. Poor Carrie.
How did Gretchen become Gretchen? She is like the most self-assured person on the face of the planet.
Carrie was catching strays. No wonder he divorced you. You're a cow.
You eat a couple pretzels and your dad calls you a cow. Sheesh.
Wild. The Witters are wild, but also the dysfunction feels related. Not that like my parents ever called me a cow or anything, but like the insanity dysfunction feels very real.
Agreed.
Well, should we crack it open?
Let's talk about it. We talked already about the singing of the happy birthday. And then Pacey says to Joey, like, the only way that this could be a good birthday is if it's just you and me here, you know, have a nice evening. And Joey lies to him. She already knows in her head that she's committed to this birthday party at the Witters' house. And I thought that was a really weird move. I know in the moment she was just trying to comfort him, but I feel like lying to him and then surprising him the way that she did is a way, way worse move. I don't know.
Well, she couldn't spoil the surprise.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, you have to look at it from her point of view. Like, the mom is planning it, right? So what is she going to do? Tell Pacey and then be like, sorry, Mrs. Witter, I ruined your surprise part. Like, her hands were tied. Her hands were tied.
But also, maybe don't promise. Be like, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I feel like she gave him so much comfort and then just ripped the rug out from under him.
I really like that Pacey referenced the season 2 birthday, but he said that no one came to his birthday, but it was that no one remembered. Like, people came, but they didn't know.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I didn't even put that together, actually. I wrote it down as his 16th birthday, but I wasn't thinking that that was something that we saw. That's so funny.
And he failed his driver's test in that episode as well, which he talks about here.
Yeah. Oh my God, my brain is deteriorating.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah, I like that.
There was something very funny about Pacey walking. Wait, when did this air? Did you say that?
January 17th, 2000.
There was something really funny about Pacey walking around with like the covers over him.
Yeah.
Because that was just such like a teen. I don't know. That was such.
I was going to say that was so real. That reminded was so me real. So much of my brother walking around the house with a blanket like wrapped around. Yes. 100%.
Always just like had a blanket around. Like, I don't know if that was an East Coast, you know, like winter thing or like people. But like, also, why don't I do it anymore? What is happening?
It's definitely a teen thing. Because now my partner's nephews do the same thing. They're like always walking around with blankets.
Like wrapped over them like a cape kind of a thing.
Yeah.
just to get the visual.
So real.
So real. So Jack and Dawson are, I mean, I guess it's been trickled through, but like they're still working the summer job, yeah. Which is wild.
They started a lucrative business. They're like basically Serta Pro painters. They've got our whole little thing going on.
And Dawson is still wearing a baseball cap.
I was going to say, I took note of that because you said it last episode. He looked good. He's a man now.
Do you think he looks good?
I don't know. I don't need the hat.
It gives him a whole different vibe. It does. It's so weird.
It really does.
It gives him like a hick vibe. I can't explain it. It's a whole different character or something.
He's wearing hats. He's painting houses.
And they talk about how he and Gretchen have a date, but Pacey and Joey still don't know.
He's scared. Jack's like, get over it, bro.
Pacey's wearing the cutest like thermal waffle shirt. I love it.
Aligned today. That is my next note. He looks so cute in that cream colored thermal. And his hair is finally like grown out again. He is like not in that weird in-between stage. He looks good.
I don't love the hair. I liked it like shaved or I think it's doing a weird thing in this episode, but it's like giving like Roman Empire like Caesar something.
Fair enough. A little helmety.
A little helmety.
Yeah. I could see that. It felt less awkward to me than the in-between. But yeah, this cream-colored thermal, so cute.
Susie Simmons in the in-between. Beth always used to quote that. This is where Joey tells Gretchen, like, you know, Pacey wants to spend the birthday alone with me, but I promised your mom that I would bring him to the surprise party. Gretchen says, that's a disaster. What are you doing? The birthday curse. And she invites Gretchen, and Gretchen kind of gives this weird look because as we know from Jack's conversation with Dawson that Dawson and Gretchen have a date tonight. But Gretchen's like, look, I'll be there.
She's like, sure, I'll be there. I don't have anything. I never have anything to do. I've never had less to do in my whole life. I don't have anything to do tonight.
So we're setting the table.
We are.
Now, have you ever decoupaged?
I have. Have you?
Oh, I mean, like in grade school art class. Not outside of school.
I used to do a lot of arts and crafts.
I know, you're so crafty.
I decoupaged a box for my mother once and gave it to her for Mother's Day.
That is so you. I'm just going to be honest. I really need Graham's shirt in this scene. Oh, it's like a watermelon plaid. I'm really into her flannel in this.
I'll have to take a look.
Oh my God, it's so me.
It sounds like you from the description. Did you notice? I'm sure you didn't because this isn't usually something that you notice, but did you notice the wig is back?
No, on Jen?
Yeah, the wig is back. And it's funny because, so she was on Armchair Expert recently. She talked about how she could record or they let her go to the UK to shoot that movie and dye her hair and wear a wig. So in episode 410 was when I pointed out the wig. And then 411, she wasn't in the episode. And now 412, she's back with the wig. So she must be in the process of shooting that film.
Wild. Wild that you talked about it and she talked about it.
Yeah. So interesting. And it was so nice to get that confirmation. It was like the universe was listening to me.
I mean, now that you point it out, it's so clearly a wig. But before that, like, I didn't think the color's off a little bit.
And it's how it moves. That to me is always the biggest tell with a wig. Wig hair is just a little bit stiffer. Like, it doesn't move as naturally.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, my God. Now she looks like such a clown now that I can see the wig. Like, it just looks...
But they did a good job because when you weren't thinking about it, it just kind of blended in.
But they're decoupaging and Jen is like, Grams, you look distracted. Are you thinking about sex?
Really catches Grams off guard.
And as we know, Grams is dating Mr. Brooks. And Jen is like, you have to use protection. You need condoms. You never know what's going on out there these days.
Grams says, I'm not having sex. But when it comes to safe sexuality, I've got my bases covered. Okay, Grams.
Well, as we know, Grams had a fling before Gramps with someone who died in the war. Oh,
what is his name? Somebody. Culpepper. Somebody Culpepper.
So Grams has been around the block. Grams is no...
He died in Pusan.
But not before we kissed. I mean, Grams knows what she's doing. Grams knows her way around the private parts, if you will.
Grams knows exactly what she's doing. Jen is telling Grams about how she has to finish her community service, and she's basically being an Uber driver for free.
Sober sister. She's a sober sister.
Okay, so Dawson comes to Gretchen and says, where do you want me to take you on our first date, m'lady? And she's like, oh, bad news. My mom wants to throw Pacey a birthday party, and I said that we would go, so I think we should postpone the date. And Dawson's like, why do we have to postpone it? What a freak. He wants to have their first date at Pacey's birthday party. Is that what he's saying?
Yes. But why is that a big deal?
Why wouldn't you be like, oh, yeah, we should postpone this and go on a real first date?
Yeah, I see. I could see both sides, you know, because like you were just going to like go to a party together. It's not a romantic one on one first date, but it's still like.
No. Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I would want as a first date. I would want to like go and be together and not like horsing around with my potential suitors, nieces and nephews.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see both sides. But I like that Dawson wasn't Dawson-y about it. Like, he wasn't super pouty and child. Yeah, he's growing.
He is growing. He was like, well, I think this is dumb. See you later. See you there.
Look, he's breezy.
Is he breezy?
Dawson might be on Xanax.
God willing.
Or not Xanax. Nardol.
You know what? I think Nardol is a real medication. I thought that was completely made up.
No way.
Something like it.
I've never heard of Nardol, and I've been on everything.
Nardol is an antidepressant medication that belongs to a class of drugs called monooxidase inhibitors, MAOIs.
It's real?
It's real. I got genetic testing done. It was on my genetic test.
Why is it so fake sounding?
I don't know.
Do you want to hear something wild? On Days of Our Lives in 1990, I want to say 4 or 5, Sammy Brady drugged Austin Reed, her sister's boyfriend, into sleeping with her. So she basically raped him, but like they didn't use those words.
Uh-huh.
She got him like a drug that made him think like he didn't know where he was and he was confused. So he thought he was having sex with her sister, but it was really her. 1994, right? Again, like you can't rewatch these. They're nowhere. I still remember the name of the drug that Sammy used to drug Austin.
What was it?
And it was Valadan. Why do I remember that? No clue. No idea.
Wow.
I think because I was like 11 or 12. And then, you know, like your brain has less to remember. And I think that just stuck in.
Sure. Your brain is very sticky at that age. Things get in there.
This is the start of some tension between Gretchen and Dawson. She's being weird and he thinks it's because that she's ashamed of him. And I would feel the same way. I'm Team Dawson on this one.
I think that Gretchen approached it wrong. I mean, she approached it in her truest way. So she approached it great. But I feel like if she had just said, I want our first date to be like something special or whatever, then it would have been fine. But she's like, oh, I don't know. And that throws up a red flag for Dawson.
Yeah, she wants to keep it a secret. He thinks it's weird. He's not in favor of lying because of what they did to him. And it's kind of a misunderstanding. But it also sets up nicely that Gretchen and the Witters are like emotionally closed off and don't know how to express their feelings. And, you know, again, they're setting the table.
They sure are. Well, Jen goes to her sober sisters and the coordinator says, you'll have a partner. And here he is. And they turn a corner and there's Toby.
I don't want to be dramatic, but there's something about Toby that makes me want to kill myself.
I hate him. I hate him. He is
the worst. Why do they keep doing this? Ethan was terrible. Toby's terrible.
And Toby is like fitting a square peg into a round hole. Nothing about him makes sense to me. Ethan, at least, like, I get it. I get why he was a little shiny to Jack, even though he kind of sucked.
Right, like his first outing.
Yeah, but Toby, I'm like, why is Jen on board with Toby? Toby is the worst, and Jen is pulling so hard for him to be a part of their lives. And I'm just like, Jen, what is it? What are we doing here?
I don't get it either. Yeah, and I like the actor, but Toby's just... Oh.
Insufferable. Well, he's there. And my next note is, why is Jen pushing Toby and Jack so hard? Like, even if she's just pushing them as a friendship, like, why? Why? I don't get it.
I just think she wants him to have gay friends and she wants to expose him to that lifestyle and stuff. You know, that's what it is. It's just...
But they have nothing in common.
Yeah, it's he's the only thing available kind of a thing.
And Toby's so mean to Jack. It's just crazy. So mean. It's crazy.
But Toby's like, well, I don't have a crush on Jack because I have a boyfriend named Greg. And Greg looks like James Dean. And Greg is amazing. Greg is everything that Jack isn't. Greg. Marsha.
Greg's been out since he's been 12. And his mom is a lesbian. And she's great. And everything's great. And everything's great. And Jen's like, well, Jack is good looking. And he's like,
Greg's better.
Jack is good looking like a frat boy. Greg is distinguished. And Greg, George Glass.
Greg. And the wig is wigging in this scene.
Wiggy.
For sure.
Very wiggy. Very wiggy. I like that they threw in that Jen says about Jack, he's fun and he's funny and he's built like a Greek god. I love that there's a runner that Jen thinks that Jack is hot.
Jen really wants to hook up with Jack.
I know. I love that.
Joey is leading a blindfolded Pacey and he's like, where are we going? Are we going to the dock? Are we going to have champagne?
Are you
going
to ravish me wearing lingerie? Nope.
We're taking you to your parents' house. And Pacey walks in. Ooh.
It's awful.
The dad sitting in a recliner in front of the TV, beer in hand, police scanner in evidence, which will come into play later.
And he says, oh, happy birthday.
You're here. Surprise.
Oh, you're here? Surprise. And the mom and everybody else runs out and they're like, oh man, we botched it. Surprise. Happy birthday.
Carrie has a plate of cookies and she's chowing them down. Doug walks in late. The nieces and nephew run through and they're punching, you know, like PC and balls and they're running. It's chaos.
It's chaos. It's terrible. It's truly as bad as it could go.
And Joshua Jackson is doing some amazing face acting.
The best. Always the best.
Always the best.
And that's when Carrie, she sits down with her plate of cookies and then Gretchen walks through with a bowl of pretzels or something and Carrie scoops them out and puts them down on her plate and she's just eating nonstop in the scene. And John Witter comes over and says, no wonder your husband left you, Carrie. You're becoming a cow. Woof.
John Winter is savage.
Ruthless. And then he says to PC, I was in Vietnam on my 18th birthday. And PC's like, I thought you had to be 18 to join the Army, Pop. And he says, are you calling me a liar?
So good. Dawson is getting like attacked by the nieces and nephews, which is really cute.
And they all look like they could be his kids. They're all like little blonde kids.
But there's something very, whoever... Like, I know Maggie Friedman wrote this, but I don't know if all the lines were hers. But when Gretchen says, like, Doug, I need help at the card table. Like, I just remember whenever, like, we had parties or people over, it was like, get the card table, get the folding chairs, get the, what's the thing that goes into the dining room table?
The leaf.
The leaf.
Gotta put the leaf in the table.
Yeah, and my mom would always be running around and scream, you know, like, get the, you know, do this, do that. And it's just... The card table line, really small detail, but very chef's kiss.
Absolutely. Very real. Everything about that, you've already kind of touched on it, but everything about this house and family felt very real. Like maybe it wasn't exactly my family, but the dynamics, the like having a random Christmas display up on the mantle for the last 20 years, like whatever, like all of that is very relatable. There's always something when you walk into somebody's house, you're like, what's that? And there's like, oh yeah, that's something we just put up and never took down. Like, I don't know, all of it, it felt very real.
The wood paneling and like the brick, like everything's just so wittery. I can't explain it.
Yep.
It was, I mean, set deck killed it.
Completely agree.
What do you think about the casting of Carrie?
It's weird to me that she's blonde.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, like the actress was great.
Yeah.
But she doesn't kind of fit in.
Aesthetically.
But I think since maybe they got Jane Lynch, they're like, we need a blonde.
Yeah, that makes sense, actually.
I just love that there was like, we finally got to see the sister that we've been hearing about, you know, because in 401, when Pacey comes back and Doug's like, I have a roommate now, you need to leave. You know, he's like, I can't, you know, our sister's getting divorced and she's there with all the rugrats. And so it was just a nice little, it's fun that they didn't forget that.
Well, that's why he moved in the first place to Doug's, right?
Oh, is that what it is?
And then when he came back and Gretchen was at Doug's. But it makes sense seeing it in action, like when you're like, oh, what? Who cares? Your sister came back, like you can't also be there. But when you see the chaos of the three kids running around and like visualizing it, I'm like, oh, yeah, makes sense.
The Witter household is a disaster.
Disaster.
But just the attention to detail, like, you know, some of the blinds are like crooked and not all the way down. It's just so funny.
Totally.
Like, because we always had those horizontal blinds and we would get new ones put in and within like a week. They're broken. They're tilted. They're crooked. Like, it's just.
I don't know how those came to be the norm.
But also vertical blinds are a disaster because they just fall.
Now they have those like accordion ones that don't have the individual slats. I feel like that's so much easier, especially with kids. Like if you're in a house with kids, I feel like 1 to 5 of those horizontal blind things are ripped or like a
disaster. In my place now, I have the ones that go, I guess it's more of a shade, but it's
like a Roman shade kind of thing.
Yeah, but it needs, it doesn't go up and down. It needs, it's like suspended almost. So you have to like pull it.
Like strings?
There's no strings. Pull it, but like you have to give it some, like you pull it down to get it up.
Oh, mm-hmm.
It's not perfect. Why haven't they perfected this yet?
I don't know. Somebody's got to put their head down for what, a week, and figure out a solution.
The Witters had a dog that they don't have anymore, but they don't talk about why they don't have it anymore. Little Easter egg.
Photo lives above the mantle.
I laughed so hard when Mrs. Witter called Joey Joanna.
Oh my God, so funny. She's like, Joanna, come in here. And he's like, Mom, it's Joey. And she says, that's what I said.
Also just like a real mom moment.
I also loved when John Witter says, who the hell are you, to Jack? And Jack's like, me? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm Jack. We met a while back at a fishing trip. And he's like, I don't remember.
And right before Mr. Witter says that to Jack, Jack's like trying to recline in the chair. Like Jack looks at the chair like it's broken and he can't figure out like what's... It's just all so real.
It really is. It really, really is.
They have a random picture of Mount Rushmore.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Was this a 90s thing? Because my parents did it. Just like every piece of wall had to be covered by something. Like no rhyme or reason to the pictures, but just like every wall was covered by different size pictures, mismatched pictures.
Yeah, I think having stuff both on the shelves and on the walls was very 90s. Did they have a lot of knickknacks?
A lot of knickknacks still. I mean, my parents haven't really changed the house in 20, 30 years, so.
Stuff, you know? People love stuff. And then I feel like it swung to people not liking stuff. And then Kim Kardashian has an empty house, and then now it's swinging back.
Yeah. Pacey pulls Joey aside and he's like, what the hell were you thinking? And she was like, look, I'm just bringing you together with your family. And he says, no matter how hard I try, I will always be a failure. And she's like, what are you talking about? And he's like, you'll see. And she says, everything will be okay, I swear. And he's like, no, it won't. You're wrong.
And she's like, what is the deal? Something is wrong with you. What is it? And he's like, let's go for a walk. And they start to go for a walk. And John Witter comes out and says, come back in here. I want to talk to Joey. Well, first he says, what are you guys doing? Going to smoke some marijuana? And then he says, come back here. I want to talk to Joey. And he says, I want to commend you, Joey, for getting my son to think about college. But Pacey's big dreams of going to college mean that I'm going to have to finance another dropout's half-ass education. Brutal. Savage. And then Pacey says, Dad, Gretchen didn't drop out. And he says, really? I didn't realize working as a barmaid at a fish restaurant constituted an education, but I'm just an uncouth police officer.
Harsh, but dropping facts? Question mark?
I mean, Gretchen's a little cagey about why she left school, so Pacey is the only one who knows the truth.
I wouldn't be thrilled if my kid dropped out of college. I wouldn't call them fat and stupid, but...
But here we are.
But at least she's working. She's working as a barmaid at the fish restaurant.
Barmaid. Just such a funny phrase.
The kitchen is so funny, too, and the fridge has, like, magnet letters on it, and someone spelled out Jack. I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't, but it's funny.
And then we go to Toby and Jen in the car, and I want to kill myself. Drive it into oncoming traffic. Just jerk the wheel.
It's truly like an Uber, though.
Oh, yeah.
Drunk people, some making out, some talking about how terrible things are, some talking about how wonderful things are.
Oh, yeah. The montage is funny. The montage of all the passengers is really funny.
Yeah. Gretchen and Dawson have broken off and go into the basement with the kids, and they're telling a story about Isabella and this story that Gretchen's grandmother used to tell her. And Dawson's really taking in how cute she's being with the kids. And like the undertones of the story are Isabella's just always on her own, and it's a little bit sad. And, you know, there's certainly a commentary there. Then, since they got interrupted before going on their walk by Mr. Witter, Joey's like, Pacey, seriously, something's wrong. Tell me what's wrong. And he's like, this isn't a conversation for here. Let's go to the basement. And they walk into the basement, and Dawson's on top of Gretchen, and they're making out. The jig is up.
Good for you. Good for you. I think they're hot.
Making out at a family party in the basement is hot.
I mean, I never did it, but go on.
I've never done it either, but I love it.
That surprises me.
Let me think about if that's true.
Well, you spend so much time with your family. Like, you guys have a lot of parties. We had one party a year at Christmas.
We don't celebrate in our family. No, it's hot. Go off. And then in that moment, Mrs. Witter says, come on up, dinner time. So they get a little interrupted. The four of them don't have much time to process.
Pacey and Joey are visibly upset. This is what we come here for magic. This is why we're here. The mess, the drama, we're living.
We are.
To quote Joey in season 3, it made me feel alive. They're at dinner and Mrs. Witter is really excited, but she is ignorant and stupid. And she says, I made Pacey's favorite. I think she says chipped beef.
Chipped beef on toast.
And Pacey's like, that's not my favorite. It's Doug's favorite. And she's like, shut up. Don't you think I know my son's favorite meal? And then Doug grabs the plate and he's like, chipped beef, my favorite.
Yeah.
And it's a disaster.
It's a disaster. It's really sad.
It's sad.
I feel so sad for Pacey.
Episodes like this are so brilliant. I don't think people know how hard it is to write episodes like this, where everything's building and popping and Pacey looks miserable. Get Joey looking uncomfortable. Get Dawson... when there's so much going on like this, it's really hard to write. The pacing needs to be just right. You know, when it's like when there's so many spinning plates, I think they did it really well. And things are still simmering and they're brewing and we kind of get the feeling like things are going to explode, but not yet. Like you get the feeling like things could explode at the dinner table, but they don't. They extend it one more scene to the living room. But Joey and Dawson head to the kitchen and Dawson wants to talk to her about how uncomfortable the kiss was.
She's like, what's going on with you and Gretchen? And he's like, I don't know. And she's like, well, are you guys a couple? And he's like, well, this was meant to be our first date. And she's like, so you're dating? And he's like, I don't know. We're not defining the relationship. And she's like, but there's a relationship. And he's like, and then she leaves and Gretchen comes in and she's like, what did you tell Joey? And he's like, I don't know. I didn't know what to tell Joey because I don't know how you feel. I know how I feel, but I don't know how you feel. So things are a real mess.
And I love that. I mean, it's like a love quadrangle. It's not a true love quadrangle because... it can't be because two of them are siblings.
But it's messy. It's messy indeed.
It's messy. And Dawson's hair looks great.
Yeah, that's why I'm responding poorly to the hat. Because he's in a good hair era. He doesn't need a hat.
And Gretchen's hair looks great.
Gretchen's hair always looks great.
And Joey's hair looks great. And Pacey looks fine. But Pacey is just like, you know, this is my birthday curse. You knew, like, today of all days, really. And I just love Gretchen because she is so good and she really didn't want to do this to Pacey.
I know. We wouldn't have this fantastic episode if it happened. But what should have happened is Joey should have gone to Gretchen and said, I did this thing and I know Pacey's going to be upset. And Gretchen would have been like, I'll handle it. I'll get you out of it. I'll talk to my mom. Episode over.
There's also something really teen boy real about like Pacey chugging the milk from the carton, yeah. Which is like disgusting now, but like we did it. I did it. Why did we do that?
It's funny how consistent people are. By people, I mean the human race, not like individuals.
So we're in the living room now with Pacey and his family. They're opening gifts. Pacey gets like an ashtray from his sister. He gets a lot of gifts that have no meaning and it just kind of plays in to and builds on the mom making the wrong favorite, right? Like they don't know Pacey. The gifts are a mess. They don't apply.
His dad gives him box of fireworks. Yeah.
And he says, wow, dad, like just what I've always wanted. And you see on John's face, he clocks that comment. And then they decide to tell all of their favorite Pacey birthday stories.
While his mom says, I read in Ladies Home Journal that a fun way to bond with your kids is to tell stories about from when they were little. So the stories that they tell here aren't birthday specific, right? Or are they?
You're right. So they were calling their favorite Pacey childhood memories. And she talks about how like Pacey was a late bloomer. Doug talks about how they almost left Pacey somewhere.
They almost left him at 31 Flavors and he was so upset that he peed his pants. And then he's like, you hear that, kids? Your uncle peed his pants. Like, they're really just being annoying.
Gretchen tries to save it by telling a nice memory of how Pacey saved her from a bully.
And then Mr. Witter's like, yeah, he shouldn't have stood up to that bully because then that bully came around and beat him up and he was crying like a baby, basically. And then Carrie comes in with the nail in the coffin and says, remember that time that Pacey got up at 5 a.m. and made the family pancakes but set the kitchen on fire and the dog died of smoke inhalation? And they all get quiet and sad. And it's really sad.
This is the thing they weren't supposed to talk about. They don't talk about the dead dog. I think it was brilliant to like set up the dead dog. dog and then pay it off here.
Yes.
This scene reminded me of the scene in Weekend in the Country when they were going around like talking about their favorite scents.
Yeah.
And they were just one by one just taking a whack at Pacey. And finally, Pacey explodes. He's had it.
He's like, look, we all know that I'm a loser and that I killed the dog and that I did all this terrible stuff and that I'm not going to get into college. And you're right, because I didn't get into college. I didn't get into my fallback school, safety school. Yeah. So it looks like you won't have to waste your money, Dad. I'm out of here. And he storms out the door, and that's when he passes Jen and Toby, who are singing happy birthday to him at the door.
Pacey's never met Toby.
No.
What does he care? Why does he care?
Jen's trying to hook up Jack and Toby, and she's going to go to any lengths to do it.
I know.
Classic Jen. I hate Toby's shtick. I hate Toby's shtick.
Yeah. Jack's like, why are you here? And he's like, to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Also, it really drove me crazy when Toby was like, is Jack even gay?
Yeah.
What?
I know. No, he's like... awful. And he's like, I'm here to make you uncomfortable. And Jack's like, cool, man, how's the club? And he's like, oh, the gay club with all the gay people, it's great. How's your club called Self-Hatred and Loneliness, or whatever he says, Self-Hatred and Denial.
I know. Ugh.
And then Jack's like, okay, bye, and he walks away, and Toby's like,
And like, you and your dog tags, why are you wearing dog tags, stupid loser,
big loser, dumb loser,
freak,
loser head.
Leave Jack alone. I'm so sick of people being mean to Jack.
Me too.
I've had it.
I've simply had it.
We have a whole goddamn season of Toby, and I'm not here for it. I'm not ready.
Hate. So Dawson is like, come on, Joey, let's go find PAC. And Joey's like, simply do not need you for this, Dawson. And Dawson's like, well, actually, you do, because PAC took your car. So if you need a car, you need me. And she's like, oh, fine, let's go. And then they get to chatting in the car. And Dawson opens up a little bit to her about Gretchen. And that's when Joey realizes, you know, we both have the plight of dating Witters, and Witters have some emotional issues. Like, they're emotionally distant and they bond over it.
I love this scene. And I love this dynamic, and I love the four of them. And I think it's great.
Completely agree.
Bringing on Pacey's sister as Dawson's new love interest was brilliant.
Truly. It's like the only thing that feels like a tit for tat, kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. They also point out ways that Gretchen and Pacey are similar that I never thought about. So it was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pacey is alone at the dock, and his father comes up with a blanket and throws it around him. And I don't know if this is a controversial take, but I really love Pacey's dad.
In this scene, I do.
I just don't think he's like, I don't think he's like capable of what Pacey needs. You know, like, I just think it's one of those cases where, but the one wants, the other one can't give them, kind of a thing. And maybe his weird way of expressing his love is by like criticizing him all the time, which I know is like not an excuse or a good thing, but
I think it's something that was very common in that generation. Like, I feel like our parents' generation and our grandparents' generation, there was just like no emotional maturity.
The men had a hard time expressing their.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is a thing, but they did say that he was like in the army or the war or whatever. So I don't know if that plays into it too. Like,
he said he was in Vietnam.
He tells Pacey, I never got to share my favorite memory of you. And that's when on your 10th birthday, I gave you fireworks and you said it was the happiest day of your life. And I've never seen you so happy. And I think he says, I was never as happy either.
He says, and because you were happy, I was happy.
Yeah. And it's just so cute.
It really was so cute. It hit so, like, it really hit me. Like, because that's obviously why he bought him the fireworks. He was trying to recreate that time and that moment and the two of them being happy. And that is so sweet.
I know. I was
in his own way. Really, yeah.
I mean, look, the Pacey dad scenes always, season one, season two, they always hit. But I like that every time we see Pacey and his dad, there's like a new layer.
And he says to Pacey here, it's not that he doesn't think that Pacey won't go to college because he isn't good enough to get in. It's that he just thinks maybe it isn't for him. But just because it's not the right thing for him doesn't mean that he's not going to go on to do great things. It's like the first time we see them have a real moment where his dad isn't criticizing him.
Yeah. I mean, I really like Pacey's dad. I will say, I think the actor has a lot to do with it. You know, if it was another actor, I don't know if I'd love Pacey's dad as much, even with this like nice little tender scene. I think the actor really deserves a lot of credit for that.
For sure.
And then Jen in her wig driving Toby home with his dog tags. And she's like, look, if you want to go with my friend, you got to stop being a jerk. And I know there's no Greg Glass.
And he's like, he's so shocked when she says that.
And she's like, looks like James Dean has a lesbian award-winning mom.
Puh.
Please.
Before they leave, Pacey and his dad come back from the docks and they're like, where did everybody go? All the lights are off. And Pacey's like, probably Red Lobster if I had to guess. But they walk in the door and they have an actual surprise and they sing happy birthday again. And Pacey blows out the candles and it's a sweet moment. But why is a third of the cake already gone?
I feel like the kids just ate it. It's canon at this point that like they everything's just a disaster there. But one thing I forgot to mention was how when Pacey's dad finds him, he's like, how'd you know I was here? And they were like, well, someone called in a complaint that there was a weird guy in the docks. But the police scanner right there, like he was sitting next to the police scanner. So that was just a little look. This show covers every hole. We've talked about it, right? There are no plot holes. OK,
but this episode specifically is so well woven together.
Yes.
It's insane.
It's not easy to write episodes like this. Like I've tried, you know, and it's just everything needs to pop at the right time and it's hard.
Yeah. And things are planted so early on that come back and things you don't even notice. But then if you look back, you're like, oh, exactly like that. Like the police radio, police blotter.
But they do it in a way where like, okay, let's say you got up to go to the bathroom or get a water and you missed the dog mention. Like the dog reveal still works, even if you didn't catch the mention. Do you know what I mean? It's
for sure.
It's just really well crafted, well done.
Indeed. So Gretchen and Dawson finally sit down to have a conversation outside about what's going on with them. And Gretchen is like, look, I'm scared to start something with you because I may leave soon. And, you know, that's scary. And Dawson's like, I am leaving soon. So don't be scared about that. He's like, it's not about the future. It's about right now and like what we want to do right now. And we're here now. And so let's do it. And Gretchen's like, I don't know if you're wise or naive, but I'm going to choose to think that you're wise. And they kiss and it's cute.
Yeah. And she basically says, it's not about my shame. It's not about Joey. It's not about Pacey. It's about me. I'm scared.
Yep.
And he's like, let me hug you with these mittens.
He's like, I'm not scared. Come here, girl.
He has like half finger mittens. What are those mittens called?
Fingerless gloves.
Fingerless gloves. But they're kissing. They're by the fire. They're hot.
They're not hot. And then Pacey and Joey come out and have kind of an opposite feeling conversation to me. It's still cute, but Pacey's like, the more things progress with this college stuff, the more I realize that we're on opposite paths and we're moving further and further away from each other. And Joey's like, don't say that. I think our paths are curving back around to right here, you and me. And he's like, I don't think so. And she's like, I think we just got to work harder at it. And they kiss and then there are fireworks in the background, which that moment is so cute. I think it's so adorable. The fireworks go off. Everyone's running around in slow motion. The kids, like, it's a really sweet moment. But that Joey Pacey conversation, you can, as you said, in your past, first, present, like, they're not on solid ground at all.
No, his insecurity is getting the best of him and it's bad.
Yeah, but it's cute. The fireworks.
Yeah. And then they have a nice moment as a family together and it's so cute. And then in the moment, I was like, I want to be a widder.
They have a beautiful piece of property. I'm jealous of everyone that lives on the creek. To be honest.
See, I only have one brother and I've always wanted a big family. So there's just something nice about the chaos of big families. I'm just very into that.
I also only have one brother, but we have a lot of cousins and I feel like that's a nice taste.
Justice for season 4. I mean, people only talk about seasons 1 through 3. 4 is great.
It is great. I completely agree. It's really good. It's really strong.
I mean, I think this is my favorite episode so far, but we've had a lot of good episodes. And for me to say that with no Andy is like, that's really saying something because...
True.
My girl is gone. And like, I miss her, but like, I don't feel her absence.
That's huge.
Do you feel her absence?
I don't. I gotta be honest.
Yeah.
And I think it's... sucks. I think it's what we were saying all season 3, like they really fumbled the ball a little bit with Andy.
Yeah.
Like we don't miss her because she didn't have a firm place. She didn't have much going on.
Yeah, I'm really realizing like season 4 might be up there with, I mean, it might go like 2-1-4 or 1-2-4. Like I might like 4 a little bit more than 3 just because I think 3 starts good and ends good. But the middle, like we're in the middle now and the middle's good.
Yeah, that's a great point.
They've struggled to keep seasons 2 and 3 in the middle. Good. But like this is, and like we have some really good stuff coming up that I do remember.
Yeah, that's a great point. Look at us.
Next week, episode 413. Look at us.
Who would have thought?
What's the Dawson's drink for episode 413 Hopeless?
We will be drinking Dream, the Dream cocktail. It's cognac, orange curacao, absinthe, simple syrup, and egg white.
Not absinthe.
Absinthe, baby.
I will say my big note of season four is the episode titles. What's hopeless? Gives me nothing.
They're really phoning it in on these titles.
Yeah, those need work.
All right, well, we'll let them know.
30 years later. Well, see you then. Bye.
Bye.